John chapter 10, we want to look at the first 10 verses. We spoke about this earlier in the week with Henry and Brother Ricky, and we spoke about it here. I feel certain, I believe I preached it here maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. It's been a while now. And we've had it on our minds this whole week. And we've been looking at other subjects, other thoughts, but our mind has been directed back to the 10th chapter of John. So you pray for me, just be of the Lord's will, and I trust that it is this morning. The 10th chapter of John, maybe that'll quit here in just a minute. Let me read the first 10 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Certainly a lot of scriptures in there that you should be familiar with. If there's one thought that I want you to take home with you today, is that in these 10 verses, what we see here are two doors. There are two doors that are mentioned here. One, the sheep are being brought out of a door. And if you'll read on further into the 9th and the 10th verse, of the last couple of verses, there is a door where the sheep go in. So there's a door that leads the sheep out, and there's a door that leads the sheep in. I want you to understand this morning what those two doors are. And what a great blessing it is when we see the truth of God's Word and we're made to rejoice in these two doors that are given us. These things were written in parables. A parable is something that is not given for us to be able to understand. What is a parable? A parable is a spiritual truth that is brought out with a literal truth, that is brought out with a natural truth. And when the natural truth is brought out, it doesn't necessarily make that spiritual truth more clear. In fact, the purpose of a parable is not to try to make things clear, but is to try to hide the truth. You say, why would God want to hide the truth? He tells us in the 13th chapter of Matthew, there was a reason there. In Matthew 13... Matthew 13, verse 13, we could also go over to the 4th chapter of Luke, but Matthew 13:13 says, Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Well, let's go down to the 15th verse. Here are three reasons why the Lord began to speak to them in parables. And if you'll notice in God's Word, in the Gospels, that the Lord began to speak in parables after He come down from the mount. The sermon, what's been called the Sermon on the Mount. He said in the 15th verse of that 13th chapter of Matthew, For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Notice who's closed their eyes. They have closed their eyes. They heard the truth, but they did not receive the truth. In other words, they did not want to understand the truth. They wanted to go on. The Pharisees, the Jewish religion at that time, was satisfied in Judaism. They were satisfied in waiting on the Messiah and were not content or satisfied knowing that the Messiah had come, that Christ indeed was the Messiah. So they were continuing to look for the Messiah to come and continuing to offer up sacrifices, continuing to live under the requirements of the old law. They were still living under that, and even today, many of God's people are still waiting on the Messiah to come. But I want to tell you something this morning. The Messiah has already come, and He's already gone. He died on the cross some 2,000 years ago. But they were dull of understanding. Their heart was waxed gross. So that you understand, a parable is not there to try to clear things up, but it's there to try to hide the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I want to talk about this first door. Verily, verily, John 10:1, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, let's now understand this as well. And this is important that we understand that when we're looking at parables, when we're looking at a natural truth and comparing it to spiritual truth, that you can't always just look at it tit for tat. You can't always just take it right exactly down the line. It's a parable. It's in type and it's in shadow of something spiritual. The porter is not, as many would suppose, John the Baptist.
That's right.
The porter is God the Father.
That's right.
All right. The shepherd, we should have there should be no problems at all on who the shepherd is. The good shepherd. The great shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who the shepherd is. The porter is God. We are His sheep. And those sheep are in a sheepfold. Now, a sheepfold is a place where sheep are kept for protection. A sheepfold is a place when the shepherds would come in at night to get their rest. They would put the sheep in a walled area, and the sheep would go in there, and the porter would stay there at the door. And the porter would protect, and the walls around that would protect the sheep for the night while the shepherd went and got some sleep. And then that morning the shepherd would come and he would say, as in the third verse, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now that's that morning when he leads them out. But the first thing I want you to realize is there is a sheepfold, and the sheep that are in that sheepfold are all of God's people from before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
You see, there's no beginning on when God began to love you. There's no beginning and there is no end because God set His love on you from before the foundation of the world. Yea, I have loved thee from everlasting to everlasting. So God's love for you cannot be marked by the bounds of time. It was before this earth was ever created. God set His affection. He set His love upon you. And the result of that love, by the way, I got to say this, the result of that love was not to give you an opportunity to love Him. The result of His love is that God so loved the world that He said that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but should have save a sinner like you. That was the result of God's love. But God has loved us from before the foundation of the world. When you want to see the magnitude of God's love, we turn to the 17th chapter of John. And then the 17th chapter of John, where we read a prayer that Christ is praying to His Heavenly Father. He said in the 23rd verse, I in them, now this is Christ praying to His Father. In the 23rd verse, He says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and get this last thought, and hast loved me as thou hast loved them. It's the same love. And that thou hast loved me the same as thou hast loved them. Now let's understand a little bit more about God's love for His Son. And according to this Scripture, if we understand more about God's love for His Son, we'll see more clearly God's love for us. Because He loved us as He loved His Son. Now let's go on to the next verse. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. God loved His Son from before the foundation of the world. Now that's no small, that's no big light bulb in your mind to think about that. But there's a purpose why the Lord has that in there to show that the same love that He has for His Son is the same love that He has for all of those that are in His sheepfold. His people. That sheepfold is a place of protection. And I want to tell you what, you are kept in the eternal covenant of God from before the foundation of the world. This brother was talking about you were elected, you were chosen in Christ from before, according Ephesians 1 and 4, according as He has chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world. You were in that sheepfold. There was nothing that was going to get you out of that sheepfold, and it was the love of God that kept you into that sheepfold. To get out the sheep. But let me get a little ahead of myself and let you know that that didn't happen. When you read that, then that was the problem that I had with this parable. And subconsciously I was thinking, how are you going to explain the sheep that got lost because the thieves and the robbers came in? You don't explain that. That's not in the Scriptures. It's not there. And what a glorious thing it is when we see our eternal security in Christ. You see, we're secure. We're in that sheepfold. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. My Father, which is greater than my Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're talking about the eternal security of God's people. The brother mentioned it over in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I want to tell you what, when the Spirit of God quickens you and gave you a life, that is not when you became a child of God. You have always been a child of God in the eternal covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's always been that way. In the new birth, it is just vitally applied to you. It's applied to you. And you say, well, my goodness, what if we miss that application? You won't miss that application. You know why? Because God will see fit to it, not man. God will born again every one of His in that sheepfold sometime between conception and death. Every last one of them will hear the irresistible voice of the Son of God. And they shall come forth. It's not a question of if you want to, they shall come forth. But you are already, always a child of God. Over in Galatians in chapter 4, he says over in Galatians chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia. But when, in the fourth verse, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That we might receive the adoption of sons. Listen to what He says in the sixth verse. And because ye are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. When did He send forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father? It was in the new birth. It was when you saw your depravity. It's when you saw your need of a Savior. And you cried out, Dada. But I want to tell you what, that's not when you became a son. He born you again because you already are sons. And because you are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. You are God's. He has a people. And I want to tell you, it's an unconditional election. I will tell you, He tells Abraham and He tells us through God's Word that God's people are as innumerable as the stars of heaven or as the sands by the seashore. But I want to tell you something about that. If there is a definite number of God's elect, there is a definite number. The point that God is giving us through Abraham is that we don't know the number, but there is a definite number from which Christ has died for on the cross at Calvary, and it's everyone that is in that sheepfold. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. You hear that ownership? He's got a people. They are His people. In the 18th chapter of Luke, you remember the unjust judge, the story of the unjust judge, and the Lord says, and shall God not avenge His own elect, which cry unto Him day and night? There is His own elect. God has His people, His sheep. Hear His voice. He says in the 27th verse of this 10th chapter of John, My sheep hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me. They're Mine. They're His. They're His own. God has a peculiar and a particular people that He has died for on the cross, and the very number of those for whom He died for on the cross are in this sheepfold. They're in this sheepfold, secure. And God's covenant from before the foundation of the world. That's why Paul could say, and we've rubbed it as slick as a mink and haven't got all the oil out of it yet. Over in Romans chapter 8 of 29 and 30, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of His Son. When did He foreknow? That foreknow was talking about loved you before. He foreknew you. He before loved you, and He predestinated you from before the foundation of the world, that we might be conformed into the image of His Son. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who, pray tell, who can be against us? It's all of the Lord. He's not going to lose a one. Aren't you thankful this morning to know that no matter how many times that we err in this life, as that brother said this morning, I'm in need of repentance daily. We need to turn our minds and our hearts daily back to the Lord and from the wicked things of this world. But aren't you thankful to know that every time your foot slips or knife slips or you get close to going off the edge or you're backslidden, aren't you thankful to know that that doesn't change the everlasting love of God? That doesn't change His eternal covenant, that He has loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I want you to see where we're at. Now I want you to see when that shepherd comes, they're thieves that are trying to come up some other way. But the shepherd comes, and to him the porter openeth the doors. Do you know what those thieves and robbers are? Are all the false doctrines out there that would tell you that salvation is by any other means other than Jesus Christ. They want to say that you're saved this way, or they want to say that you're saved that way, or that you've got to do this, or that you've got to do that. Do you remember in the 15th chapter of Acts, certain men from Antioch came down and said, unless you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you shall in no wise be saved. There's something you got to do. You got to keep the law of Moses. You got to be circumcised if you want to be a child, if you want to be saved. These are the things that troubled the church there. That troubled the church enough to where they had to inquire if these things would be seen. This was an early church. I don't think you'd be troubled this morning if somebody got out and said, "Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, there's something you got to do if you want to go to heaven." I don't think that would trouble you this morning. I believe you're founded in the grace and in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He's done a work, and what a great rejoicing that is. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of thieves and a lot of robbers that would say, "Well, I'll tell you how I got saved. I got saved because I did something. I got saved because I was baptized. I got saved because I'm persevering in works. I'm persevering in this life. I've got saved by this, or I've got saved by that. I got saved because I'm of the father of Abraham. Or I've got saved because of this." But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, you can say, the world can claim however they want to, but that does not make void and null the promises of God.
Amen.
That God has saved a people, and I want to tell you, there's a vast majority of God's people out there that may not understand it, but that does not take away from the fact that God has saved a people by His sovereign grace.
Amen.
It's a grace, and grace alone, that God has done the work. He goes on over here in the 10th chapter. "He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." Now I want you to see this type in this parable here is a type of when the Lord quickens us again by the Spirit of God. You remember He said in the 27th verse of this 10th chapter, "My sheep hear My voice, I know them, and they follow Me." I want to tell you something about that following the Lord. That following the Lord right there is not following Him in obedience in this life. There's plenty of scriptures for that. And that is very important that we do follow the Lord in this life in obedience. But what that scripture is talking about there is a passive obedience. We follow Him passively, my friends. He brings us out of nature's dark night. Listen, Abraham was obedient to the Lord in the 11th chapter of John when He said, "Lazarus, come forth." He was obedient. That's right. Because Lazarus came forth. He was obedient to the voice of God. But he was dead. How could he be actively obedient and do something actively obedient to God when he was dead, when he had been dead long enough that they said, "Surely he stinketh by now"? It was a passive obedience. There's passive and active obedience. We can show that in our own body. This is an act of obedience. I'm telling my arm to flex, but I'm not telling my heart to beat. My heart beats passively. This is active. I want to tell you, there's a passive obedience in which God comes to us, not when we're willing, not when we're ready, because if it was waiting until we're willing and we're ready, as the brother spoke about, talking about total depravity, we would never be ready. The creature in the 8th chapter of Romans, the creature, who's the creature? Therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Therefore, how do we get into Christ? Do we get into Christ ourselves? No. 1st chapter of 1st Corinthians. "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus." Of God. It's God that has put you in Christ Jesus. You didn't put yourself there. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The creature was made subject to vanity, he says in the 8th chapter of Romans. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. Subject to vanity. The creature, the new creature in Christ Jesus, was made subject to vanity. Now, Solomon tells us all is vanity and vexation. All is vanity under the sun. But we're made subject to it in the new birth. We're made to see that all is vanity in this life. The creature was made subject to vanity. And how were we done that way? Not willingly. Not willingly. But by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. You know why you got a hope in your heart? You know why you see the things of this world as vanity and vexation? There's no good thing under the sun. You know where that comes from? That comes from the new creature that was within you. And you were not willing to receive that. But you came forward in a passive obedience to God when He called you out of nature's dark night. What's that say? I'm trying to get that over in Psalms 110 and verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of His power. How is it that a child of God is born again by the Spirit of God? Go to John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Every last one of them is going to hear it, and every last one of them is going to live. The ones that hear it are the ones that live, and the ones that hear it are those that the Father, that the Son speaks that irresistible voice to in their heart. When you have a love, when if you've got a love of God in your heart, my friends, and you've got a desire to turn from your wicked ways and to serve God in obedience in this life, that is not required for eternal salvation. That is an evidence, as the brother has already clearly pointed out this morning. That is an evidence that God is already in your heart. That God has already dealt a measure of grace in your heart. Now, are we going to go on in that obedience? That's the question. But listen to what He says. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Irresistible grace. They're going to follow Him because they know His voice. That's irresistible grace. I want you to see that this door right here that leads the sheep out, it's very important that you understand this thought, that it's unconditional upon man. It's unconditional. There's no conditions based upon this, because from before the foundation of the world, God put you in a sheepfold.
That's right.
Before the foundation of the world, God set His eye upon you. God chose you and loved you. And because of that, you're His forevermore. And because you're in that sheepfold, Christ will call you out from nature's dark night into the marvelous light and liberty of the Lord. You heard the old saying, once saved, always saved. Well, I want to tell you, I believe we're always saved, once saved. But I want to tell you where we got a big difference with us and the others that say that is when we were once saved. I'll tell you, when you were once saved, you were once saved in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world, and it was applied to you on Calvary's cross, and it's vitally applied to you in the new birth. But don't you see, there's not a one that is lost. From everyone that, and this is the three in one Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Everyone that the Father loved from before the foundation, it shows the perfection of the sovereignty of God, that every last one that the Father loved, Christ died for on the cross, and every one that Christ died for on the cross will be quickened by the Spirit of God, and every one that is quickened by the Spirit of God will be glorified with Him one day in heaven, all the way through from His love to glorification. There's not a one that's left out. Not a one. You know why? Because it's all of God. It's all of God. Not of man at all. Well, I want to tell you what, if thieves and robbers could get in, I want to tell you it would be a messed up doctrine, wouldn't it? If it was up to man to try to fulfill some portion of the sovereignty of God. Listen, He's the potter. We're just the clay.
Amen.
We're nothing. He's the one that fashions us, dear child of God. And we, by His mercy and His grace, can see that and rejoice in that. But listen to what He says in the fourth verse. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee for him, for they know not the voice of strangers. It's just a parable. is saying there's nobody else they're going to follow because they don't know the voice of a stranger. But I want to tell you one voice that is irresistible, and that's the voice of the Son of God in the new birth. That's an irresistible voice. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Notice that He's the door now. He's saying the same parable, but now He says, I'm the door of the sheep. Well, I thought you were the shepherd. Christ is all of it. That's the parable. He's the shepherd. He's the door. I want to tell you, it's through Him and because of Him and in Him that where all blessings flow. It's through Jesus Christ. There, what's He say over in Ephesians? In Ephesians, some more very familiar scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, God, they're talking about God, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So there's the door. That He might show His kindness in us through Christ Jesus. If we have received any blessings at all, it's been because of Christ Jesus. You remember what He says in the third verse of that first chapter? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's all in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now He's not done with that thought. So don't take the next verse out of context. For by grace, because by grace are you saved through faith. There's the word through again, and there's faith, but that's not our faith. That's talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. It's through Him. For by grace are you saved through faith. He says perfect harmony with the seventh verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. It's all in Christ. It's all through Christ. It is all that Christ has done for us. He that is of God, heareth God's... He goes on to say in the tenth chapter, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which He spake unto them. Then He said, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Eternal security. Next week we want to look at that other door. There's another door that leads sheep in.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something about this other door. We said the other door, the first door was unconditional. I want to tell you this door is conditional. There's a condition on this door. Listen to what He says and we'll explain it more next week, good Lord willing. I am the door, by me if... any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. God bless you. I appreciate the time.